Good morning, everyone. I'd like to share some thoughts I had this morning on perishing. Last week, Brother Marty spoke on four men that died, and I began to think a little bit about perishing. None of those perished. And I want to see if I can maybe share some thoughts on what I think the Bible preaches or teaches us about perishing. Many in denominational circles would say that if we perish, we're going to eternal damnation, and I think that that can't happen for God's children because we're secure.
Amen.
We were chosen before the world began. Jesus Christ 100% died for those that were chosen. We are all 100% regenerated at some point in our life. We are converted with God's grace during our life. That's where the perishing comes in. Should we convert, not convert, then we do perish. And now salvation is the problem. We don't have now salvation if we perish. So I want to talk about that. And finally, we'll be glorified. So the men that were spoken of last week, I was particularly impressed with thinking about the thief on the cross. Had he not said what he said, he still would have gone to heaven. But he didn't perish because he confessed Jesus Christ. Before men, he declared him, and I think that that was recorded for us to see that we need to do the same thing. We need to confess our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to share some thoughts about perishing. I know the definition says to die, to be destroyed, it's some very serious things said about the word itself, but I think that a understanding of perishing might be necessary in light of what the scripture teaches. And I guess in my life particularly, I'm not as concerned, and I hope I really mean this, I'm not concerned about how long I live, but how I live. And that's probably the hardest thing in the world, is to battle the flesh that will drag us to perishing, will drag us to deny our Lord, drag us to betraying our Lord like Peter did. Peter perished for 3 days, I think, but he repented, and God was merciful to him. And so I want to talk a little bit about some people in the Bible that impressed me. Rahab the harlot. It says in Hebrews 11:31 that by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So here it is, a woman who's mentioned in the lineage of Christ, a Gentile, is part of the hallmark of faith. And she perished not. Now, let's say she didn't protect the spies, and she could have turned them in and they could have been killed. But she did not do that. But let's say she didn't do what she did. And she talked to the spies and said, remember me and my family when you come in. I believe that the God of Israel is the God of Israel. Let's say she didn't say any of that. And she died when the walls fell. She'd be in heaven right now. And she'd still be in the lineage of Christ. But the Lord blessed her to be a blessing to the spies and to the Jewish people. And her household was saved. She didn't perish. I believe that she stepped out and said and did things that helped her life to be recorded as being someone who didn't perish. We can look at the King Saul, who was living a life of jealousy and hatred toward David, and then he was killed in battle. I think he perished. He's in heaven right now, but he perished. It was not a good life that he lived. And that is the question that I have for myself. I'm trying to talk to myself right now. How can I not perish? And I look back over my life when I heard the gospel in 1980. That was the first time I ever heard how God saved his people. But like I've shared before, 15 years I went and off flying and doing things that I wanted to do and being a fighter pilot and all those things, flying in combat and all those great and glorious things, but they were for me. And I did not really grow in grace as much as I should have. But then in 95, I met Brother Marty and I met some other people who shared with me what I needed to do, and I was baptized, and I've started to learn more. From that time forward, I believe my life ceased a little bit in perishing, and it's been a blessing ever since. All three of my children are baptized in the faith, and they all know what I believe. My wife does. I pray that she will be baptized one day and join us, and I ask for you to pray for her. But the point is that this is a lifelong thing that we got to do. It's every day. It's whatever comes out of the ground in our life. You know, we're told that there's bad soil, the stony soil, there's all thorny soil, the cares of this world choke out what comes out of the ground. I think those are examples of us perishing when we don't exhibit the love of God in our heart and do those things that we should. In Revelation 18, and I've spoke of this before, it says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice." I believe, by the way, that's Jesus Christ. He's referred to as being an angel. And he did enlighten, okay, with his glory. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." There are seven times in Revelations that kings and priests are mentioned, and this is one of them. We are kings and priests. All right. In here, it says that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That's not a good thing. That's a perishing thing. Because if we deny how the Lord bought us, and we deny the principles that are taught in this word of God, then we are committing fornication with the mother of the harlots and the daughters of the harlots. Now, we know in 70 AD the church building was destroyed, and that ended physically the Old Testament church. But Jesus Christ ended it on the day he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So we as kings and priests to God, we are to come out of that works-based doctrines of systems that tries to take credit, that tries to do things that we can't do. I can't choose myself. I can't die for myself. I can't reborn myself. I can't convert myself, nor can I glorify myself. That's the gospel. And if I say any of those things in participation, then I'm committing fornication with her. And that's what we need to do. So here it is. If we look at the story of Rahab, back to her, she heard about this people and how great the God of Israel was. And I want to read a little bit about that in Deuteronomy 8. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord God which brought thee forth out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. There's regeneration right there. We're not to forget how God saved his people. They were stuck in in Egypt, and could not get out unless God raised up Moses and he led them out. He opened the Red Sea and they went through on dry ground. There's a picture of our regeneration. We're in Pharaoh's camp, Satan's domain, until we're born again. Okay? But since we were chosen before the foundations were on, Jesus died for us, we will be reborn again. We will be born again. So there's a picture of eternal salvation. If we don't believe that we have something to do with it, then we haven't come out of her. Okay? Continuing. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end? Here's a picture of after we've been born again, we start to see the wilderness that we're in, the fighting between the old nature and the new nature. We need help. We need spiritual food to help us to learn how to deal with that and how not to perish. We know the story of how the spies went over and said, well, except Caleb and Joshua, we can't take it. So what happened? Those that were older died. They perished. They didn't believe. And so later, 40 years later, they went across the River Jordan and started to receive great victories. One of them was Jericho, where Rahab was. All right? And remember that verse that says she perished not. She believed. Okay. So, and thou say in thy heart, continuing, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Okay, so that's what we have before us. Not only how we're born again, but that he is with us in the wilderness and he bids us to cross the river through baptism. And I believe baptism is pictured there. Yes. But the fight doesn't even begin until you get across the river. All right, my fight didn't really begin until 95 when I was baptized and started to learn about the struggle inside with many good men of God. Brother Marty's one, Brother Don Ferris, and many others shared with me what was going on inside. The struggle between these two brothers, the Ishmael and Isaac, they all on and on. God shares with us beautiful accounts of the struggle between two brothers. And if I follow the wrong brother, the brother of the flesh, I will perish. Okay, so continuing, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. In Hosea, it says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. There we go again. A priest? We're priests. Well, we better be preaching the right things. Okay? And if we don't, then we are ignorant of what the truth is, and I believe we perish. So, again, God has all of his children to be kings and priests. male, female, child, adult, doesn't matter. Brother Marty's the ordained pastor of this church, but I'm a preacher. You're a preacher. You're a priest. You're a king. And we're supposed to be good kings and good priests. We're not supposed to make alliances with bad kings. What does that mean? We're not supposed to tear down what we know is truth and fundamental, and just to get along with other doctrines that are not right and will teach us that we can do things that we really can't. So, again, we need to come out of her. And I believe that we're warned to do that. In 2 Corinthians, and I'll close, 4:6-14, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our body." If that's true, we're not perishing. And that's what we're supposed to do, is manifest the life of Christ. It's not me that liveth. It's supposed to be Christ that liveth in me. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, again, it's hard for me to think that I could die soon with cancer. I don't want to, but I would rather live right before God before that happens and not perish before that happens. And that is what that I'm looking for, is to also bear the life of Christ in me. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If anything needs to perish, it's our old man. Let that perish. That way our new man grows in grace. "For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that probably shows right there what our problem is when we perish, is we look at the physical and we promote the physical, and our activities being more important than what God has done for us, and we perish. And I believe that we need so very much to, again, look at how we live and not how long we live. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your sacrifice to give us life. We thank you for all you have done for us to bring those things in our life that truly helps us not to perish. And we ask that you help us not to perish. We ask that you help this nation not to perish, for we're in trouble right now. We ask thy blessings on the coming election. We ask thy blessings upon this nation, that you will cause us to have us to repent of our sins. We ask that you would have us to give us grace to turn away from those things that are destroying us and causing us to perish and lose our manifestation as individuals, Lord. That's where it begins, and we ask that you help this church to grow in grace and knowledge of thee, that we not perish but for lack of knowledge, and that we reach out to the community around us, that we would be a light like you bid us to be, and that light shine out from our lives to others. We thank you for all your love and blessings. We ask the blessings upon the rest of the service, and that you would heal the sick and afflicted. Please forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.